We're going to take a break from our series in Galatians, and as we... We're taking a little break from our series in Galatians and think about a topic that I've kind of been thinking about for a while. And at the most basic point, it's about welcoming or being a welcoming kind of place. So when I went back home, I'm going to come down here, actually, because there's all this space here. And I can do this. You want to sit on the front, cross-legged? Clement, you are more than welcome to. It would make me feel very, like, I would feel like, oh, like I'm doing children's ministry again. But that's cool. So I went back to the States for a couple of weeks. And then when I was back home, I got to visit some churches. One, I went back to my old church. And the other one, I went to a church I'd never been to before. Which is kind of weird because I haven't visited a church just to visit for a long time. And it was kind of exciting. So I went back to my home church, and it's really weird. Some of them recognize me. It's been a long time, and some of them don't. But I have to be sad to say, it was really weird because no one really says hello to me. There's one guy who recognized me, said, hey, and then good thing he sat next to me because otherwise I would feel very alone. It was a big church, about maybe 200, 300 people, and then they had a I wasn't sure what was going on. I wasn't sure where the kids were supposed to go, and I had to keep asking around, what do I do next? And I thought, and then straight after service, my friend said, okay, hey, I'm sorry, I got to run off. I got to leave now, but it's nice seeing you, and maybe catch you next time. I was like, oh, okay, see you later then. Okay, I guess I'll just go home now. And I was struck very much like, well, it's still a great church. The sermon was really good. It was my friend who preached. It was still really nice. The worship was really powerful. But something that was missing was, you would almost say, the heart of people. And there's always stuff. There's worship in these sermons. And these are really important. But what really makes a church stand out is actually the heart of the people and the love that they have for one another. And it's funny because we actually see that in sometimes we go to a new place and you see, well, no one talked to me, I don't have any friends. And so one of the things I was doing was having my son spy on the children's ministries in different churches. So I just wanted to get a bearing to see how things were. And so my son went to, I feel like this is kind of slagging my church back home. It's not. It's a great church, and I love them for a lot of things they do. But I sent my son to the children's ministry there. And when I went down to pick him up, he said, I want to go now. I want to hurry up and go. I said, oh, did you not have a good time? So my son doesn't like to say negative things about people. So he's just like, I just want to go home. I said, oh, did you make any friends? I said, no. Oh, did anyone talk to you? No. Well, did you talk to anyone? No. So was it interesting? I said, what did you do? Oh, we just kind of sat here and listened to someone talk for a long time. And I said, oh, so is this church better or our church in England? He said, oh, our church in England's much better. I said, oh, that's kind of cool. So our children's ministry is pretty cool. So I didn't want to be happy because I thought, oh, this is still my old church. I love them very much still. So the next week we went to this different church. And it was a church because my church, they went on this retreat. And I spent ages trying to figure out if there was going to be a service. And I realized most of them were going to be gone. So I said, okay, I'm just going to find another church to kind of go to. So I found another church that I'd never been to, kind of a youngish church as well. And so I showed up there. And it was really kind of overwhelming because actually people were really friendly and they're saying, oh, hi, oh, are you new here? I was like, wow, how did you know I was new? Do we Chinese people all look that different? Because I'm sure you're Chinese too. And they knew that I was new and they knew maybe because I had a family with me and said, oh, you're new here? Oh, why don't you come here? Oh, you've got two kids? And it was interesting because I said, well, where do I take my kids? And the person didn't know, but they said, oh, I'm not sure. But let me find someone to go. Come with me. And they took me to someone else who also didn't know. But that person was also really friendly. Oh, hi, my name is so-and-so. I think it's over here. Let me take you to this place. And that really struck me as something really interesting. So the church itself was not that organized, you might say. They didn't all know what was going on. But everyone was friendly and willing to take you to the right place. Then they went to the children's ministry, and I had my son spy there as well. But in the English service, so we walked inside, and they meet in the school, and me and my wife at this point were like, okay, I don't know where we're going. And I realized this is what people feel like every week when they come into our church, except it's small, so there's not that many choices on where they can go. So they said, I was like, oh, I don't know where we're going to go. Let's just head in this direction and try to find a seat. And we do what everyone does when they go to a new church. Let's sit in the back so we can leave if it's bad. So we're tie singing the band, and someone goes, oh, actually, you know, you've got a family. Why don't you sit over here with all the other families? We have these seats for the families, so when they leave during worship, you can go out there and say, oh, okay, that's fine. So we all went over there to sit. And it was interesting because I had a lot of questions because I wasn't sure what was going on. And every time I asked someone, they were really friendly and really helpful to answer my questions and to give me the right direction. I thought, wow, this church is, you know, really, really kind of caring, really kind of loving. So once again, I had my son spy on the children's ministry because that's how I am. So he went to it, and I said, how was it? He said, oh, it was really fun. I think, was this better than the church that you went to last week? And he just looked at me and laughed. And he goes, ha, 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 let's not talk about that other church. I thought, wow, you've got a sense of humor, my son. I said, oh, well, what did they do? And he said, it was really good. We played games, and I got this biscuit, and we learned this thing. I said, it was the biscuit, huh? You know, if they give you food. And then he told me a bit. I said, well, how about our church back home? Was it better the same? He said, no, it's about the same. It was both really good. I think there's one difference, he said. And his difference was that they played a game that was related to the lesson. And he found that that was very interesting. I thought, wow, that's fairly insightful. And then he's like, I'm really hungry. Can we go? What else was interesting after that service, I was kind of in a rush to leave, but they were really helpful. They said, oh, actually, we have all these sandwiches here. So if you're new here, you can have a free lunch with us and kind of hang around. I said, wow. How do you guys budget for this? I was really impressed. They were very loving. And then, get this. So a few days later, when we fly back to the States, I get this email from the children's minister there. And she sends me this email. And she says, hi, Bert. It was really nice that you could come and really glad that we could meet you. We tried to send a letter out to all the parents to tell them what we learned in Sunday school and how they can help their kids reinforce this lesson back home. I thought, wow, this is intense. I'm like, is this church that big? And it wasn't actually a huge church. It's bigger than our church, and they have six full-time ministers, which is a lot more than we do. But they can do all the other things. But I thought one of the biggest things was they had a real heart of love and of genuineness. That I thought that is fantastic, and that's something that really sets things apart. Sometimes when we come to our church, actually, I know the congregation here. They are full of actually love and genuineness. But we're also like full of social awkwardness and not really sure who to say hello to and afraid of saying hello to the wrong people because we're not sure if they've been new here. And I realized, well, how do we become a church that is full of more of that sort of welcomeness and lovingness and openness? And what I wanted to talk about today was the open arms of Christ and the open arms of the church. And one of the ideas I want to look at is, what does it mean that God is impartial? Part of being impartial also means that there's sort of this inclusion. And with church itself, there's this idea of church always being exclusive, right? Oh, we keep these people out of the church. But is that what God desires? Is God's idea has always been like, oh, we're trying to keep people out. And I think sometimes people say, oh, because we're sheep and the goats, right? So we're like the sheep or we're like the good people. And so we keep those people out. Is that what it's about? Because I realize that's how it feels for a lot of our friends, right? People that we care about say, oh, I can't go to your church. You know, I'm not a Christian, or oh, I'm not Chinese, or I'm not a good person. You know, I'm not really welcome in your church. Well, what does it mean then for God? How does it mean that God has open arms? I want to share with you this welcome message that was in another church that I've not been to, but I read this, and they actually printed this in their bulletin. I thought, this is pretty bold. So let me read this out to you. I've got it up here. We extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, gay, filthy rich, dirt poor. Yo no habla inglés. We extend a special welcome to those who are crying newborns, skinny as a rail, or could afford to lose a few pounds. We welcome you if you can sing like Andrea Bocelli or like our pastor who can't carry a note in a bucket. You're welcome here if you're just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail. We don't care if you're more Catholic than the Pope or haven't been in church since little Joey's baptism. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not grown up yet, and to teenagers who are growing up too fast. We welcome soccer moms, NASCAR dads, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We welcome you if you're having problems or you're down in the dumps, or if you don't like organized religion. We've been there too. If you blew all your offering money at the dog track, you're welcome here. We offer a special welcome to those who think the earth is flat, work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or because grandma is in town and wanted to go to church. We welcome those who are inked, pierced, or both. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now, had religion shoved down your throat as a kid, or got lost in traffic and wound up here by mistake. We welcome tourists, seekers and doubters, bleeding hearts, and you. That kind of welcome message, I thought, that is kind of inspiring. If your church could have this kind of heart to say we welcome all these different kinds of people into the church. And it's interesting because it's not just welcoming them, right? So it's easy to print this and put your bulletin. It's another thing for someone that's different to come in the church and people not to do this or hold their bags closer to them or not talk to them. A welcoming church that says when we welcome you, we embrace you. We say we want you to be part of what's happening here. An open sort of welcome. Now, this is interesting because actually in the scriptures, God is very much about this sort of inclusion, about bringing people who are outside in. He starts very much with his chosen people, right? He starts with Israel. But from the very beginning, his plan is to include all nations and all people to come to know who he is. And that's why even from the very beginning, when he calls Abraham, he says, you know, you will be a light to the nation so that all might know who I am. There's this passage that we're going to look at in Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is, you might say, Moses' last speech, you could say. It's his last sort of thing that he's saying. And one of the main things that he brings out in that is the greatest commandments, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, for our church, that's the same idea that we hold to, that we believe should be at our heart. So let me read this, and this is coming from Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting from verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. And you must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it all belongs to the Lord your God. Yet the Lord chose your ancestors as the objects of his love, and he chose you, their descendants, above all other nations, as is evident today. Therefore, change your hearts and stop being stubborn. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him. Your oaths must be in his name only. He alone is your God, the only one who is worthy of your praise, the one who has done these mighty miracles that you have seen with your own eyes. When your ancestors went down into Egypt, there were only 70 of them. But now your Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Now this is pretty, just an excerpt of what he's sort of saying about what it means to be loving. And the one part I want to sort of focus on here is verse 17 to 19. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So you too must show love to the foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. This idea of being foreign is interesting. The Israelite people, they actually didn't have their own space, really. They don't have their own land. They didn't get it until after Moses died. So they knew what it meant to be a nomadic people. At the same time, there were other foreigners living among them whenever they stopped places. And God was already saying here, show compassion to them. Don't exclude them. Don't leave them out. Which is a big difference in terms of thinking, right? Back then, it's if you're a foreigner, oh, well, we want to exclude you. Or even today's society, right? If you're a foreigner, we want to charge you more taxes, or we want to make you jump through more hoops, take away some of your rights. But what God is saying is very different. Show them love and compassion. Bring them into your fold. Now, for most of us, or a lot of us, we are not born here. And for those of us who are born here, we would also say, well, I might be British, but even sometimes I don't always feel part of it, except for a few of us who are very British. And that is fine. But there's this idea of, well, what it means to be a foreigner, or to be separate, or to be different. What does it mean to be welcomed into that? Now, all of us actually have probably felt a time where we felt not part of a place, left out, excluded. And it's very difficult, isn't it? And you really want to try so hard to be included in some place. But you know what makes the biggest difference for being included? When there are people there who show you that love, show you that compassion, show you warmth, show you blessing, help you get started, help you understand. This same idea is what God is saying our church or his church should be like, one that welcomes people in. It's interesting because I think for a lot of us, we might say, well, this is our church. How can we be served and serve others here? But if this is your church, you say, well, how do we love and bless all that come through these doors? I want to look a little bit deeper. So we know that one of the greatest things that God is commanding us to do is to love God and love your neighbor. When we talk about inclusion, we say, well, if we include everything, Bert, if all people are included in this, does that mean that it's okay to sin then? Like, oh, so, you know, you say you can have drug addicts and, like, you know, I don't know, gamblers come into the church. Is that acceptable? Surely we should say they should quit their things and then we'll let them come to the church, right? And that's the thinking for a lot of the church members. It's like, well, we don't want these dangerous people to come into church and cause trouble. We want them to quit their sins first and then they can be joined of us. But that's not what God is saying, actually. You have to remember for yourself, when you were still separated from Christ, did God extend his love to you to draw you into his kingdom? Or did he wait for you to become without sin before he accepted you? No, right? God's love extends to you before you were a sinner. I mean, before you were free from sin, and he's the one that sets you free from that. It's that same love that he wants us to have. But see, inclusion doesn't say it's okay to sin. True love confronts those things which are wrong. And true love wants to transform this. When we look at this, we understand that actually God's love for us acknowledges the sin. God's love for us forgives the sin. But more than that, God's love offers transformation. Followers of Christ receive the opportunity to be transformed from the things which plague their hearts, the evil motives, the evil desires. He sets us free from those things. He sees the sin, he acknowledges it, but then he forgives it, and then he gives us a way to change. So likewise for us individually, who are already coming to the church, our moments are saying, God, let us acknowledge our sin. Let us acknowledge what we've done wrong. And let us repent from that. Let us say, you know, God, I'm sorry. And then say, let me walk in your transformation. Let me walk in this life. But how does this apply to those coming in from outside? People who don't know God, strangers, people who are different than us. When we say the church has open doors, what does that mean? The open doors of the church welcome all who seek God. If anyone is searching for God or seeking for truth or seeking for understanding, we welcome them in because that is what the church is about. We are all here for the same thing too, right? To seek and know God greater and deeper. And as we come to seek him and know him greater and deeper, we discovered how his life sets us free from that. We're saved by Jesus Christ. And we're saying, anyone who wants to know who God is, come and see. Come and know who he is. That's why it says, ask, seek, and knock. Come into his kingdom. Revelation 3:20 says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. And this is Jesus speaking. He's saying, I'm here waiting. And he's waiting for us maybe to open the door and say, well, let's come and share a meal together as friends. When I think of the church as a whole, it's the same thing. Are we as a church opening the doors and saying, Jesus, come and share a meal with us as a friends? And when Jesus opens that door, does he say, oh, now just close that door and leave all the other sinful people outside? He says, no, let's welcome them in so that they might eat with Jesus as well and know his love. As our church is going to be moving into a kind of a new phase in terms of our thinking, one of the things we're looking towards doing and starting up is new cell groups. And it's amazing because last week I mentioned this and I said, yeah, we want to start some new cell groups. I would love to have some mature believers come forward and be willing to lead these groups. And you know what was amazing? I had four people come to me and say, I really want to find a new cell group to go to. Can you point me in the direction of a new cell group? And I looked at them and said, oh, that's awesome. I want to find a cell group for you. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I have no leaders. Who will help me? Who's going to help lead a group? And I thought, great, there are all these people who are hungry to seek to know God more, who want to be in a group, who want to say, I want to come to a place where I can seek God and seek what it means to follow you, but who will help me? And I was like, I don't know. I'm going to find somebody, though. I'm going to find someone to start and lead a group. So you have a lot of people who are hungry, but everyone's looking for someone else to feed them. But maybe part of the open door of a church is saying, actually, God, what can I do to bless my brother and sister here? What gifts or what ideas or what love do I have that I can show people here? Is this the kind of home you say, everyone who walks through this door, I want them to feel loved. I want them to feel like this could be a place that they're a part of. I know I would. When I go someplace new, I want someone to be able to come and say hello and welcome me. And so when I asked my son, Alex, and when he went to those Sunday schools, I said, oh, did anyone talk to you, though? Did you make any new friends today? Because, you know, they're young. They can make friends easily, right? Not like us old, bitter people. He said, oh, no one really talked to me. But I had fun, though. The teachers talked to me. I said, that's nice. That's what they're supposed to do. And I said, well, did you talk to anybody? He said, no, because, you know, I don't know anybody. I said, I guess so, but maybe sometimes you just have to start. Because like when you have new people come to church and you know now how they feel, so will you say hello to them when they come? And you said, yeah, because I know what it feels like. If my son, who's only like 6 years old, can think that way, surely us who have been saved by God can begin to say, you know what? I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be scared. I don't have to be shy. I can actually be someone who says, you know, I want to welcome you in. I want to bless them. I say this to us because I know that that's what we have the potential to be. Because as a church goes, we are really laid back, really pretty friendly once we get going. And I think we're quirky enough to make us afraid to talk to new people because we might scare them away. But in reality, it's that kind of warmth and the honesty and the genuineness that people like. The second church I went to in the States, they had that. They didn't have it all together. No one pretended that they were a super Christian. But they were just kind of real, and there was a sense of we're all seeking God together in this. And some of us have found who Jesus is, and we would love to you to know the same thing. Just to close off, there was one more thing I saw at that church that really struck me. You know how at the end of their service, they had worship, similar to us. Their church was really similar to us, except in much better, warmer climate. And like 1,000 more pastors. But what was really interesting was at the end, they had this worship, and they had a longer time of worship, and they said they had a prayer team. And what was amazing was people just started to pray for each other. There was this willingness to just go up to someone and go up and pray for them. I thought, that is fantastic. Why do they do that? Why are they willing to do that? I thought, what's the difference between their church and our church that they're willing to do that? And I saw there's actually no difference. People in our congregation could do the same thing. It's just it's not part of our habit or our culture yet. But I found when they did that, they weren't just opening their arms to people outside. They weren't just opening the doors of the church. But they are helping each other open their arms to Christ. Their prayers were opening up each other's arms to God's work in their lives. When we have our time of worship later today, after the baptisms, I recommend, you know, you guys take that time to, you know what, let me pray for someone. Let me be part of opening the arms of one another at this church. The goal is that this church doesn't sit here with our arms crossed, carrying all the burdens ourselves, trying to figure out whether this pastor is theologically accurate or not. I like to think I am. But actually becomes one that is open-armed, no longer carrying the burdens or free, willing to be able to lift their hands up in worship to know that, you know, God, you have set us free, and we want everyone else to know that same freedom. Let's come to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we're going to have some amazing testimonies and some sharing. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your great love, for your amazing mercy that brings us into your kingdom. Lord, even though we were sinners and we didn't deserve it, you still came and you saved us. So Lord, who are we to judge? Who are we to to determine who deserves you or not. Lord, we are sinners saved by grace. So let's rest in that same truth and that same promise, Lord. Begin cultivating in our hearts in the congregation one of this openness that finds its security in you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.